blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 263, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Unto God, our Savior, sing a joyful song. Wondrous are his doings, for his arm is strong. He has brought salvation, he has made it known, and before the nations is his justice shown. 1, 2, and 3 of 263.
Thank you. We wish to read from God's holy and precious word out of the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 21 to verse 40. 21 to 40 of chapter 2. Now when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Now when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal, most just and most righteous, but also most merciful and gracious God, who we may commemorate in this day for thy great goodness in the sending forth of thy dear Son into this world, and for his willingness to come into this sin-cursed world, and that he may give himself a ransom for many. O Lord, we have just heard out of thy holy word how that Anna, as she was a woman, but she may prophesy of him. O Lord, thou didst also say that thou wouldest save the woman who was first in the transgression. O thy mercy over us is so very great. And Lord, thou gavest her to speak. O thou gavest her to open her mouth. For thou hadst shown her things that others had never seen. O that many had desired to see, but they were withheld from them in all the Old Testament time. And thou hadst given it unto her, and thou openest her mouth, and that she may speak of that redemption, Lord. Oh, it is a wonder, and that that speaking may still go forth in the days in which we live. There are places where it is not allowed to go forth, where thou dost shut the mouths because of sin as a judgment. O Lord, that thou may remember such that are laying under the bonds of persecution and who may not speak unto their children and unto their grandchildren and unto their villagers and unto all their loved ones, but who are compelled to keep silence about that one and only name given under heaven among men, whereby that we must be saved. O Lord, thou knowest those that do look for redemption in Israel, as she may speak to them. There were those in those days, those dark days, wherein there was so much discouragement because of the consequences of sin, and how that sin had been permitted to go so far, and the consequences under the bondage that they were, so that the throne was broken down. O Lord, thou knowest the discouragement that there was in those days, and yet there were people that did hope, people that did look, people that did wait, people that went in their inner chambers, that cried to thee in all the darkness. O Lord, are there such also in our days that do look for that same redemption? Are there also such among us whose guilt rises up to heaven, who cannot live as they have been born, whose sin rises up against them prevailing day by day, and who need and desire and long to see thy dear Son? Oh, they look for that revelation that is so necessary in a personal way. Oh, they might hear it from others, what was given unto them. Oh, they are jealous, Lord, how they may speak of that redemption. Oh, Lord, then they say, may it be the day for me, and that my eyes may look upon him, or that I might embrace him, and that I may receive him as my own, and by a true and a living faith. O Lord, that thou may hear as such ones when they cry to thee in this day, who do not wake in the morning as every other day, but to say, Lord, it is a day of commemoration. It is a day we may go up unto thy house. O Lord, wilt thou bring it into my heart and into the hearts of my dear children and my dear grandchildren? Lord, we read in thy word that there was no room for them in the inn. Thou knowest what we are by nature. Oh, we are so full of this world. And maybe it is today also that we are so full of the things of time and sense, and that there is not a desire, that there is no longing, that there is nothing that goes out of our dead and hard and cold heart. Oh, how wretched and miserable are we as we have been born into this world. And if we know no different, if it has never become different, if we have come and gone from the place of the holy all our life long, as so hard as a nail, oh, so cold as steel, oh, could it please thee, Lord, that in this afternoon hour, in this most blessed day, in this day of commemoration of thy dear and only begotten Son, that there may be a new birth, that there may be many new births, a resurrection from the dead. Oh, could it be also among us and among our children? Oh, have we not to complain, Lord, of the coldness and the deadness of our own hearts? Oh, have we not to complain that thy spirit is so little felt and seen? Oh, we do beseech thee that thou wouldest not look upon us in our guilt and in our sin, and that we do leave thee days without number, but that thou wouldest look now, Lord, upon thy dear son. Oh, do see him as he was willing to lay himself there in that manger, in that stable. Oh, do behold him, Lord, as he gave himself even to the very cross, even unto death, to pour out his blood unto death. Oh, thou hast raised him from the dead, and thou hast received him, Lord, for what purpose? Oh, could it be also for us? We beseech it of thee, Lord, that thou wouldest not deal with us according to our sins. And we do come to thy house to beseech of thee a blessing, that thou wouldest come and do for us what we cannot do unto ourselves. O Lord, thou art the fountain of life, and we need life because we are dead. Oh, that thou may give it to us for the first time or by renewal. O look upon all that are not able to gather with us. Thou knowest the sicknesses that do go round our community. O Lord, that thou wouldst watch over the life and the health of each and every one, each even those also that are in the hospitals. O care for us all together. And wilt thou look upon that deadly sickness that we are born with, and that thou wouldst show to us that we are leprous from the head to the toe, and that we need to be forgiven, washed, and cleansed. Oh, hear us and look upon us in this hour, and give us the strength and the ability to do the work thou layest upon us. Oh, give us a little of thy spirit, Lord, that it might go forth, and that our mouth may be as thine, and that thou may speak through us as a little weak instrument, that it might be for the glorifying of thy blessed and thrice worthy name. Oh, could it be for the turning of many unto righteousness, unto the righteousness of thy dear and only begotten Son. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from the Song of Simeon all the stanzas. Lord, in thy temple we appear, as happy Simeon came, and hope to meet our Savior here. Oh, make our joys the same. With what divine and vast delight the good old man was filled when fondly in his withered arms he clasped the holy child. 1 through 6 of 163 of Song of Simeon. Beloved congregation, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world was a very great humiliation. Not because it was humiliating to become a human being, but it was very humiliating to come even as a sinful human being, to appear like that he himself had sinned when he came and submitted to all of the consequences of our sin in this world. And that birth of Christ has taken place in the midst of much poverty and of much suffering. That is all the consequences of our sin. And then the Lord Jesus, not only in his birth, when he was born in a stable and laid in a manger, but he was also 8 days later brought into the temple. And why into the temple? That was for several reasons. In the first place, it was necessary, according to the law, that he be circumcised. So in circumcision, like in our baptism, and there is a confession of sin. Do we ever feel that in our baptism? Christ was, of course, sinless. And yet he has agreed to the requirements of his Father, that his Father would lay the iniquity of his church upon him. So in that sense, then he was not without sin. No, he was laying there with the sin of his entire church when he was brought into that temple of God. And it was there that the holy blood of that mediator began to be spilled upon this sin-cursed world. In the second place, the Lord had to be brought to that temple in order that he may undergo a ceremonial purification. And that had that was in relation to himself, but also unto his mother. And that was also according to the law. In the third place, he had to be presented to the Lord. And that was necessary for every male child that did open the womb. You remember why, boys and girls? The male boys, they had to be presented to the Lord. Well, you remember, if you go back to the Old Testament and the children of Israel in Egypt, then it was those boys, those firstborn boys, who were laying under the threat of God. All those firstborn boys in Egypt. And then the Lord spared the firstborn boys of the children of Israel. And now the Lord said to them, those are mine. That is, every one of them then had to serve in the service of the Lord. But later on, the Lord says, I will take the Levites instead. And so those boys had to be redeemed. Every one of them presented to the Lord and redeemed or bought back from the priesthood, actually. Now, we do not read, and that may just simply be a detail left out, but it also could be and because of their poverty, that we do not read actually of that redemption price being paid. Indeed, Christ would not be redeemed from the priesthood because he was said to be the eternal priest of his church. Later on himself did say that everyone that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And this we see also in connection with himself when he did come into this world and laid himself there in that filthy stable. Then we see the hosts of heaven coming down to the earth to sing and to magnify his name. And then we can read how also that his people did magnify him. We think about the shepherds and the wise men, how that they came and they worshiped him. And then when we come 8 days later into the temple, and then there were two persons, Simeon and Anna, and they did prophesy, and they magnified him who had exalted himself, who had humbled himself so deeply and would be exalted in the hearts of his people. Was he ever exalted in your heart? One of those prophecies we wish to consider for a little while in this Christmas Day afternoon, which you can find in the portion that was read to you, Luke 2, verses 34 and 35. Luke 2, verses 34 and 35. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So far, the words of our text, the child set for the revealing of hearts. First, for the fall of many in Israel. Second, for the rising again of many in Israel. The child set for the revealing of hearts, first for the fall, and second for the rising again of many in Israel, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What does that mean, to be revealed? That is to be uncovered. That is to be unveiled. That is to be made manifest. What do you think? Would you want the thoughts of your heart in this day to be revealed? That is to everyone that is around you, that is in the church, and that is also in the world. The Lord said unto Cain, sin lieth at the door. Right at the door. The thoughts of your heart, the world cannot see them, Cain. They are ready to be revealed. The next deed that you will perform is a deed that is going to show unto the world the wickedness that is living in your heart. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So Simeon says, this child is set for this purpose. That is, he is placed there. He is put in a certain position, a certain place, in order for this to take place, to reveal, to unveil, to make manifest the secrets that are living in the hearts of men. There is nothing hid from him. They are all revealed to him. But that is not what is spoken of here. No, those thoughts are going to be revealed also unto other persons, because Christ later says there is nothing that is hid and that shall not be revealed. There is nothing that is hid that shall not be made known, that is, before all men, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Who is this that says this? That is Simeon. Who is Simeon? Some say that he was a priest. That could be. The Bible does not say that. Luke only says that he was a just man and he was a devout man, and that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Shall we place ourselves next to that for a moment? Are you a just person? Has the Lord made you honest? Made you honest with yourself? And are you a devout person? That is, a person who truly bows before God. Are you a person who has a secret chamber? Have you been made honest and brought to the footstool of the Lord? And now, are we also one of those that do wait for the consolation of Israel? How long, congregation, have you been waiting? Maybe you say, I'm afraid that is never going to come. I'm afraid that what I'm waiting for, I am never going to receive. Is that right? Is that what lives in your heart? A congregation, I tell you, if that is so, and if those things indeed live in your heart, that is not possible. That is not possible. Now, what did the Lord reveal to Simeon? He revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That was, of course, in a physical way. But that now applies to each and every one of those who are made honest and devout, and those who are made to look for redemption in Israel, that they shall not die before that they have seen the Lord's Christ, that they shall not die before Christ is born within their heart. How can you say that? It is true. Because, congregation, a man is saved by what? He is saved by hope. By hope. And there is only one hope, the Bible says. And if that people will be saved, it is necessary that that child will be born in their heart before that they die. And thus we say that it is not possible that those who so long and those who so wait, that they should die without knowing what Christmas is in their heart. The Lord has a word for those who, we read in God's word, are barren among his people. Isaiah says, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Fear not. Thou shalt not be ashamed in thy hope. That is, thou shalt not see death before that thou hast seen the Lord's Christ. Isaiah says, blessed are all they that to wait for him. Jeremiah says something so similar. He says, the Lord is good to them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. That is now what Simeon experienced in his waiting. Some say that Simeon was old. Maybe that is true. It seems so from the way we read it in the Bible, but we are not actually told this in the Bible. Why do we often say that? It is because of what Simeon said. When he may be given to see that child, when he may be given to embrace that child, to take that child in his arms, he says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. So that sounds like he has come after many, many years to his death. His deathbed, we would say. But congregation, that is not necessary. It is not necessary in order for a person to say something like this. That is possible a person says that when they are still young. Do you know what we need? Do you know all that we need in order to feel in our heart what Simeon felt? Then there is only one thing we need, and that is to see that child. If you will see that child, all those who are waiting for him, those who are looking for him, for redemption through him, and then the Lord will open him, the Lord will reveal him to your soul, then you will say, even if you are just 10 years old or 20 years old, you say your whole life is before you, but you know in that moment your whole life falls away. All that is carnal falls away. Everything that is here below falls away. Ah, then there is only, and then you think actually you are ready to die. Or you say, then I want to be with him. No, it is not necessary to be old, children, in order for that fear of death to be completely taken away from you. Ah, there can be sometimes, in those moments of faith, then a man sometimes is not even afraid to die. Even when you are young, would you like that, boys and girls? Maybe you are so afraid sometimes. You lay in your bed at night, and they say it is dark, and then, yeah. Do you think, children, about your sin? Do you think about that? Do you ever say, because of my sin, I have to die? And are you ever afraid that you do not wake up in the morning because of your sin? Oh, do you know how the Lord is so able to take away those fears? Because the Lord is able to take away our sin. And that is through whom? Ah, that is that child. This is a beautiful thing that we may speak about today. And that, as so many others, have only a name in their mouth, but we may now speak about the substance, what it means, children. Christmas Day. And what that means also to you. And when you will see him by eye of faith, if the Lord may give that to you when you are still young, then all your fears of death are taken away. And those revelations of him, then they are drawing you. They are drawing you up and away. Away from this world. Away even from your father and from your mother and from your brothers and sisters whom you say you love, yes. But then you love the Lord more. Is that not a blessed thing? Is not Christmas as such a blessed thing? Simeon experienced these things. On that day of Christmas, you would say on that day that he was given to see the child, and that he may see him in the temple of the Lord. That is where the Lord is revealing that child. Oh, we have sung it together.
And when we come up into that house of God with that expectation or with that prayer, with that cry, oh Lord, may I see him, may my soul see him. Simeon spoke about the blessedness of this child, that he would light, would be the light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. Oh, Joseph and Mary wondered. They heard these things and they wondered at all the things that were spoken of him. Not that it was new, because we know that that angel Gabriel has appeared to Mary before, and we heard how that that Elizabeth also has spoken to Mary, and so Mary was acquainted with these things. But now the Lord is confirming it, and he is confirming it by the mouth of his own people. And then it is not only directly from heaven, but the Lord is showing these wonders to those that are around her. And that is a blessed confirmation for Mary that is going to be so helpful for her in the future. In the future. You say, what help does Mary need? Did not Elizabeth say, blessed art thou among women? So what help did Mary need? She was the most blessed woman, you say, on the whole face of the world. That is true. But now, congregation, it needs to be carried out. Needs to be carried out. It now needs to take place in her life. And now what did the Lord later say? He says it is through much tribulation that we must enter into the kingdom of God. And you know, if a man is born again, we see so little of that. There is such a joy in our heart. And then we think that it will go from strength to strength, and that it will be all joy. And as I now feel it and experience it in my heart, that is now the way it is going to be for the rest of my life. But Mary had to find out different. And that entire church had to find out different. Because Mary had to find out. And that in the carrying out, in the working out of salvation, in the life of the church, oh, that there would be many, many sorrows. That there would be many, many trials. And that was not just for everyone else. And that Mary is excluded. No, there is no one excluded. Not even the mother of the Lord. And now Simeon begins to speak about these things. After he has spoken about that great blessedness. And so we may have a certain kind of a ceremonial excitement in the land in which we live about that birth of the child. I hope that none of us are ever caught up in that. There is a different joy. There is a joy that needs to be born and to live and to burn within our hearts. But then there is also a reality. And that reality of the carrying out of the works of the Lord in this life. Simeon is honest with this Mary and Joseph. And he begins to speak about how all these things are going to be accomplished in the life of that church. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Thus, Mary begins to be prepared for the things that are coming in her life. And that is very often the case, that the Lord is giving a confirmation to his people of his own work that he is establishing his own work in their heart, that he may prepare them for the things that they have to suffer in their life. If we think about those women, when they were there at that sepulcher, then the angels were sent to speak to them and to remind them of those things that were told them before. Those were things before that they did not really want to hear. In their joy and in their expectation, you say, then the Lord put a damper on it. Yes, but all that damper, all they were things that needed, were so necessary for Mary when she may go forward through those trials. Thus, Mary is being prepared for a life of affliction. She is being prepared slowly for a life of suffering. It will be a life of suffering for herself. It will be a life of suffering in a special way for her own son that was not revealed to her and by Gabriel. The Lord is good to his church. He never lays on his church more than they are able to bear. And he keeps them from rejoicing in a way of ignorance of reality. And he prepares them for sustaining that weight which he is going to lay upon them in order that they may receive one day that kingdom of heaven. Simeon says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. Oh, how many times has Mary not thought upon these words? Later on in her life, because the Lord Jesus became, as Simeon said, a sign which was spoken against the Pharisees, the scribes, the Jews, even her own other children were speaking against him. That's a sword, parents, isn't it? When someone will speak against your child, it will speak against your grandchild, that's a sword that goes into your heart. And then it is not just the world, you say that would not be so bad. But it was the Jewish people. Oh, that sharpens that sword, doesn't it? That makes it like a dagger that goes into your heart. And so that was for Mary. Because when he began his ministry, oh, then there was a certain rejoicing. But then there was also that enmity that was coming out. And what a grief. And what a burden that was for that dear mother. And then how many times has she had to think back upon these words of Simeon and that did tamper her joys in the beginning. Oh, and then she had to think back on those words, that sword. And then we think in a special way when she was standing there at that cross over against it. Oh, you say, who can fathom, as a mother, so dear to her heart, and not only as a mother, oh, but he was her salvation. And now that dagger, that sword, and then by that Jewish people crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Oh, that prophecy, we cannot understand how good that the Lord is in sustaining that womanly heart, that mother heart, in the time of his birth. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. The fall and the rising again. That is the fall and the resurrection. So what is a resurrection? That's to bring up from life unto from death unto life. That is, if we speak about resurrection, then we're not speaking about death, because that's what resurrection is. It starts with death and it is ending in life. So death is presupposed when we speak about rising again. So for the fall of many in Israel, or for the fall of many of the seed of Jacob, or the seed of Abraham, whose thoughts are going to be revealed, whose thoughts are going to be revealed that they were carnal thoughts, O Israel, although they were religious thoughts, still those thoughts that they had were carnal. The Lord revealed their thoughts in his ministry. He brought them out he knew their thoughts. And he revealed them. He unveiled them. And he unveiled them as vain. He unveiled them as carnal. He unveiled them as not understanding the words of the prophets. He unveiled them as enmity against the truth, against God, and against himself. How did he do that? What did that people do then? Well, they rebelled. Do you do that too if he unveils your thoughts? Many of the thoughts of that Jewish people were actually hidden until the day of his crucifixion. And then those thoughts became evident, because many of them had cried, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." But they wanted him to give them bread and the earthly gifts. And when they realized he was not going to do this for them, then they said, "Away with him." And so then the thoughts and the intents and the motives and the desires, and that they were carnal, they were all revealed in that day. And then they made that great choice that was living in their heart, that choice outwardly that revealed their heart. Not this man, but Barabbas. And their thoughts were revealed to their great fall and to their rejection of this child. Every man is going to stand or fall according to the thought of their heart concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think of him? Can you say in your heart if he is dear to your soul? Because if he never becomes dear to our soul, then that thought of our heart is going to be revealed in that great day of days. Isaiah says he shall be for a sanctuary, yes. But he says, for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, and for a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. If he never becomes precious to our soul, that is then going to be our lot when our thoughts are revealed. They will be revealed before the church. They will be revealed before the whole world, that though that we have come and gone our whole life to the church and perhaps put on a show of piety amongst the whole world, our thoughts are then going to be revealed that we never actually considered ourselves to be a sinner. That our heart is a stable, and that we need that Christ child to be born in our heart. That it was all our. And nothing of it really lived in our heart. Do you know what the Lord says? He says, all they that hate me love death. And so then our thoughts will be revealed because we hate him or we love him. And then if we hate him, we love death. And the Lord will say, do you love death? Then death will be your eternal place. O congregation, what will it be in that day when we have sung with our mouth? And that is good. That is good. But when we have sung with our mouth the praises of this child, oh, but do you say today, he does not live there. He does not live there. Is that a grief to you? Or do you come into God's house desiring it? And do you go away from God's house ashamed of yourself? Oh, what a fall. What a fall that is and that shall be. But it shall not be a fall for everyone, no. He says also that this child is not just set for a fall. He is also set for the rising again of many in Israel. First 427, stanza 5. The stone the builders had rejected and in contempt refused to own, to their dismay has been selected to be the foremost cornerstone. Stanza 5 of 427.
Thank you.
Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. That means the resurrection of many in Israel. The resurrection from what? That is the resurrection from death, because a fall is unto death. Of Lazarus, the Lord Jesus says, this sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. We read, he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life, that he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet, he says, shall he live. There were many of the Jews who never believed in him and who never came forth from that fall, from that death, and that they had brought themselves into. But congregation, that was not true of all of them. No, because we read also that many of the Jews believed in him. And even we read, and that there were many of the chief rulers that believed in him, that was secretly, lest they be put out of the synagogue. Very difficult for them to show forth that belief. Paul says that the Jewish nation stumbled at this stumbling stone. But, he says, have they stumbled that they might fall? He says, God forbid. That is, have they stumbled so they might fall away? God forbid. He says, then what shall the receiving of them be but a resurrection? But a life from the dead. That is, as Simeon said, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Christ cannot be for the rising again except there be first a fall. That rising again, that is presupposing such a fall. Christmas, congregation, is such a blessed day. But now the fulfillment of Christmas, that is coming in the heart of a person, that is presupposing something, that is room and place, that is living in that heart. That is why the Bible says he was born in a stable. You say, yeah, that is a place that was prepared. That is a place just that the Lord himself would have him to be born. Without death, there is no resurrection. And now this child, he says, that is set for the fall. But that setting for the fall is something that we call actually accidental. And then that may be a little confusing. We use that word accidental, not that we say it was not intended, but that is not the end purpose. That is not the first purpose. That is not the reason that Christ came into the world, that there may be a fall. No. But there has also to be this fall. Thus has this child also been born in your heart. Has this child been to your resurrection? Do you say yes? What has he resurrected you from? What was your death? Because the true church knows what that death is. And they know what? That child is delivering them from. In order for this child to be born in our heart, oh, then our heart must fall from a palace into a filthy stable. Because we need to come down. We cannot be glorified ourselves also with Christ. We cannot be glorified together. If He is to be exalted in our heart, oh, then we cannot be exalted. No, it is either the one or it is the other. This child is jealous of his honor. And he will sit on the throne. And if we will sit on the throne, he will not come to sit with us in the throne. No, he must first cast us down from our throne. Thus, he is set first of all for our fall in order that he may raise us again. Neither will he reveal himself in our soul except and until that we are fallen. Who is he? He is Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. He come to save his people from their sins. That is those who have fallen. Oh, do we know something of that fall? How did he bring those Jews to fall? He offended them. He offended them. Did he ever offend you? Do you know what he said to the Jews? He says, you are whited sepulchres. You indeed appear white and clean on the outside, and inside you are full of dead men's bones. They would have nothing to do with them. He offended them. Did he ever offend you? How were they under that offense? They did not fall before him. They did not fall under him. But when they fell fighting against him. Ah, when our flesh is offended, we don't want to become a sinner. I don't want to be a sinner. Not in front of everyone else. You neither. That is the problem. That's the whole problem. Oh, he is set. He will make sure that happens. First congregation, we need to come down. And how is it that our heart is dealing with the offense that he is charging us with in the Bible, that we are all under sin, that we want nothing to do with him, or are we falling under it? Are we falling toward him, or do we fall against him? Christ, he says, I do not come to condemn the world. He says, I come to save the world. But to do so, you first must fall before me. You know, Judas and his cohorts in that garden, he spoke and they fell backward. That is now going to be the judgment of everyone who does not fall forward. Who does not fall under him? Who does not fall before him? Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel. He came for those who are fallen. He came for those who are not able to lift themselves from their fall. You say, why does he work in such a manner? He works that way for the glory of his Father, the glory of the Son and the glory of the Holy Ghost. That is why. For what is a man in this world glorified more than for mercy or grace? David was a mighty man, right? And the people magnified him for this. Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Solomon was a wise man. He was a rich man. The angels in heaven magnify God. The greatness, the glory, the might and the power and the wisdom of God. Men may glorify men for their might and for their riches and for their wisdom. But they soon forget. They soon forget. You know what they don't forget? His mercy. They don't forget the mercy of a man. The grace of a man. Who, when I am so undeserving, what that man did for me, you know they don't forget that. And that is now that church. Oh, God is magnified by nothing more from his people than for his mercy and for his grace. Do you believe that? Saul had to be thrown down from his position, lay on the ground, and then it was only mercy and it was only grace that that man may attribute unto the salvation of his soul. He says, of whom I am chief. No man in the whole world is so great a sinful man as I am. And now that mercy of God and the grace of God that was so magnified in that heart of that man. Oh, the angels don't know of this. That is why Boston says the song of the redeemed that shall be one pitch higher than the song of the angels. Why? It is for this glorification. It is necessary for this that the Lord is set. First for the fall. And then for the rising again of his church. There is not one person in the whole church of God for whom it does not go in that way. For the same purpose, for the same reason. Oh, congregation, it is not easy to be cast down. We don't want to be cast down. We don't go there. No, we are always trying to uphold ourselves. But now if God is merciful to our soul, then Christ is set first for our fall. That is very humbling. To be stripped of our self-righteousness. For our pride to be brought low. To be made a sinner before God. Shameful. The world doesn't feel shame anymore. Maybe us not either. Young people, no shame. No shame anymore. When we sin, when we disobey children, our father and mother, not ashamed. Awful. And when we do things in this world with a brazen face, go to bed without a thought, without a pang, oh, when the Lord comes, then we are so ashamed. Oh, we don't want to become a sinner before God. It is very discouraging when the Lord is stripping away our power, the might to do what? From the love of our heart to obey that law of God. That's what they want to do. You want to do that too, children? You ever see that word? We sing about that sometimes. Oh, how love I thy law. You say that, boys and girls? Oh, if I could just be pure. If I could keep that whole law of God. If I could walk in this world as the Lord has created me to be. That is now what I would love. That is what I desire more than everything else. And then we have to find out that we don't have the strength to do it, that we don't have the heart to do it, and that is congregation over many years sometimes. That is so discouraging, because then we thought that we could bring ourselves a little closer to the Lord. You say, oh, how could I get him to speak to my soul? Well, then I'm going to obey. Yeah. That sin that makes separation, right? That I'm going to obey. And then so discouraged. Because I cannot do it. And because I cannot do it, then I also do not get it. How often do you fall? How often do you fall each day? Can you stand even for one moment? But do you know, those of you who struggle, that this child is set for your fall? He's standing there. And he's not allowing you to get up. He is set for your fall. And he is opening to you what is living in your heart. Because there are many people, they just raise themselves up when they fall. They say, yeah, but God knows we're not all perfect, right? And we just have to do our best. And the Lord will do the rest. And so we bring an excuse. Congregation, there's a woman in the Bible. We read she had an issue of blood. An issue of blood. It was just coming forth from her. Is it all coming forth from you too? You can't stop it. You say, it will be my death. It will be my death. Oh, it will be my death if I do not receive life from him. What did she do? She went and bowed herself behind him. And when he turned around, she came and she fell there. She fell at his feet. She told him everything. You ever tell him everything? At his footstool. As if he knew nothing, he knows it all. And she fell there. And then what did he do? Then he raised her up. That is now his purpose. That is why he brings you there in such a place. That is why it is so discouraging in your life. That is why you feel also such a pain in your heart under the humbling work of that Spirit of the Lord. Behold, this child is set. He is set there. He will not move. He will not do it in any other way. This is his way. This is how he works. In order that he may receive all the honor. He is set for the fall and the rising again for many in Israel. Oh, do not be offended at the manner in which that child is saving his church. Free grace. Free grace is a very blessed thing, isn't it? We can ask those who have received it, how blessed that it is to receive it. But do you know, congregation, you know what the Lord Jesus says? He says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. believe that? If that is now such a blessed thing to receive it, do you know what Christ says? It is more blessed for me to give it to you than for you to receive it. Oh, how many poor souls, they are so hesitant at that throne of grace. So I do not deserve it. I do not deserve it. And that is true. Then you say, how can I go there? Again. Say, it is time that he just cast me away. More blessed for him to give, and ashamed because of our sin to draw nigh to him. You say, how is it possible? Oh, but then we rob him of his glory when we will not come, that he may do what he delights to do. Do you know what we read in the Bible? He delighteth in mercy. He delighteth in mercy. Do you believe that? All that it may bring you to his blessed footstool. Behold, this child is set there. He will not move from there. If we will be delivered, this is the way that he is going to deliver us. And it is not going to be in some fanciful, outward, superficial rejoicing. No, Simeon says it is going, Mary, through the deep. But it is going to bring a people out of the pit of their misery. Ah, he had such glorious things to say concerning that child, but also the reality of the way of the administration of that gospel. That was not nice. Not nice for them to hear you say. You say, maybe today, boys and girls, there's supposed to be Christmas sermon, right? Supposed to be a Christmas sermon. And then it is a day of rejoicing. And then you speak like this. Ah, yes, that is now the reality. But it was so profitable for Mary in the reality of her life and everything that had to take place in her life. Oh, do not stumble at this stumbling stone. Fall before him, lay before him, and he will raise you up. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a few poor words, but thou can bless them. Instruct us in our wretchedness and in our misery, and bring us to fall before thee. O Lord, thou knowest we will never. Oh, we rebel against it. Oh, make us a sinner before God, Lord. Make us into that stable. Oh, bring us so low that we may rejoice with that people. And when they rejoiced in that day of Christmas, that poor people, oh, look on us. Each and every one, bring us safely home. Give us meditation upon these blessings, and that we may desire them. And that we may desire them in that way that thou givest them to all thy people. And be with us in the coming days, on thy Sabbath day also here, but also in Calgary. And wilt thou watch over each and every one and grant us thy blessing, forgiving all of our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 293, 1, 2, and 3, rebels who had dared to show proud contempt of God Most High, bound in iron and in woe, shades of death and darkness nigh, humbled, low with toil and pain, fell and looked for help in vain. 1, 2, and 3 of 293. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.